now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We are going to try something very excited for, and that is Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley, the Cardinal quarterback, is in Tel Aviv, and he is going to talk about his offseason adventures. Those of you who don't know about Brett, he wants to be the Anthony Bourdain, the late Anthony Bourdain, when his career is done, and that is do world travel. And so he's in Israel. We'll Skype him in and talk about his trip so far. And he's been in Jerusalem. He's been all over the place. This is more, what does a player do when it is the off season rather than just lift weights and throw footballs, because we get enough of that for like 11 months. I'm kind of interested in what makes them tick year round. Arizona State lands a big time running back, like a nationally ranked running back, the heir apparent to Eno Benjamin type running back. We'll talk about that a little bit. I think the NBA stuff is really interesting to me, of them wanting to shorten the season. If you've not heard about this and why it is that they're looking potentially, I think they're just floating this out there to hear the kind of backlash that they would get from not only fans, although I don't think it would be that much, from players, from agents, all of that. Why it is that Adam Silver is floating out there. Here we are right before free agency. And yes, they want to dominate the news cycle here in the late part of June. I got it. But I think it's smart of him to say, oh, what would it look like if we had a mid-season tournament? What would it look like if we had less games during the regular season? Is the NBA season too long? When you look at load management, you're going to hear the term load management a lot over the next few days. And load management simply means how many games are you going to play? Kawhi Leonard missed 25 games this year with Toronto. LeBron James missed 29. Now, he had injury, but he did miss a ton of games. Load management is where a team can say to a player, I use load management here on Eric all the time. I use it here on Devin Henry all the time, chairman of the board today. Load management. Eric, I am not going to overwork you. The load management that you have, I'm only going to have you work a certain amount of days, and you can take off whenever you want. Thus, do you want to come here and be a part of the team? That is load management. So that is part of what they are pitching out there and part of what is going on with Adam Silver. We'll get into that a little bit. Free agency starts on Sunday. More on that coming up shortly. But first, our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and you've got to do that with life insurance. Although Sagicor has many, many different financial areas for you to go to, I talk to you about your life insurance. If something were to happen to you today, if you didn't come home tonight, does everything have a place? Is everything handled? Does the person that you are with, do they know what to do? Or your loved ones, do they know what to do? And are you leaving them in a very good space? If at any point in time as I'm talking to you, it's like, oh, I'm really not sure, then log on to Sagicor Now. Get yourself a free quote. See what it is that they can do for you. I'm a licensed agent. I can help out. I really enjoy doing it. Really do. It doesn't matter your age. The younger you are, the less expensive it is. Okay? So log on there. Get your free quote at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Brett Hundley via Skype here momentarily, and then Goody at the Movies. We'll have Bill on board with us, too, on today's show. He's been all about the U.S. Women's World Cup. And last night, I'm sure he watched the debates. I was at a screening last night for Spider-Man. So I go to these movie screenings with my wife. It's a way to decompress. It's a packed theater. It's a harken. Spider-Man 2 comes out, or Spider-Man, whatever the number it is, comes out next week. I believe it's Tuesday. Peter Parker's latest adventure. If you're one of those into Marvel, there was a lot of laughs last night. It was a lot of fun. It was an e-ticket ride, I like to say. And there were some moments that paid homage to the fallen Iron Man that were very cool. So I'll just leave it at that. That's as much as I'm going to say. I think today, as we get towards this coming Sunday and free agency for the Suns, the interest around town on what they're going to do, if they're going to do anything. And I know the Suns are below the Mendoza line right now. Sorry to bother the baseball term. But they are in terms of interest. I get it. where they are right now in this next few days, I've taken the approach of the long view. While 99%, I think, of people around town hate what the Suns did last week with the draft, I kind of like what they did. I'm saying that because I believe that Monty Williams has a plan here and James Jones has a plan. This isn't just the latest run of boobs in the front office or people that really don't know, or they're being hamstrung by Robert Sarver. I could be wrong on this. I don't think I am. I don't think Robert is there behind the scenes as much as he has been. That doesn't mean he can't just flip a switch and screw the whole thing up and offer guys money that they shouldn't do. It's hard for me to imagine. I can't even imagine that if by the time we get to next Monday, the Suns haven't figured out what they're doing with their point guard situation. It doesn't mean the deal is done as of yet. Deals can't be announced till the 6th. So hearing from the horse's mouth about why did you take Cam Johnson when he wasn't even at the draft, even though there's been rumblings and rumors about his injury side, I've heard just the opposite about work ethic and getting after it and body frame and ability to shoot the basketball. Is it a wild card? Sure it is, but you don't know. I don't know. I'm just not going to follow the pack mentality. None of us know on Cam Johnson for probably a few years, right? It's like when Dragan Bender was taken. Oh my gosh, Dragan Bender is going to be terrific. Dragan Bender's done nothing. When Marquise Chris was taken, oh man, man, he can jump out of the gym. He can do this. He can do that. He's barely hanging on in the NBA. So when you go down the line on all these guys and make just instantaneous statements and decisions about this guy can play and this guy can't, I'm more along the lines of, you know, when you're building a franchise, you want to build it for long-term success. Is the West difficult? There's no question. You know, there's no question if, in fact, the Lakers are able to put together D'Angelo Russell to bring him back and put him alongside of Anthony Davis and put him alongside an aging LeBron James, they're better than the Suns, in my opinion. When the Rookie of the Year votes were tabulated and DeAndre Ayton didn't get any, like zip zero, you would think that somewhere inside of him that would motivate him some to come back and be that much better in season number two. Devin Booker's got to be sitting there over these next few days saying, this is great. I'm very excited about what they're doing. Or, what the heck are we doing? And even with all this, you don't hear the Suns associated with Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard. You don't hear them associated with Kemba Walker. You don't hear their names alongside of any of the big names or Kyrie Irving. So is it going to be that second or third tier guy? I mentioned Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio, to me, would be a terrific spot at point guard for the Suns. Give them some stability. Not throw a kid out there and say, hey, Okobo, go play point guard and go get your head kicked in. And that's basically what's happened the last couple of years. So if we're sitting here and they bring in Corey Joseph, is that going to be the end-all of end-alls at point guard? To me, that's all saying, hey, we're playing for Nico Mannion next year or something along those lines. The change in the rules or the potential change in rules. So the NBA season, the preseason, camp start the last week of September. They play these 6, 7, 8 preseason games. It's okay. It's not the garbage that the NFL is in August. And then, you know, the league, I think you've got to have games to get your legs together and get your run in. But when you get to 10 games, 12 games, I think you can whack that down a few. The regular season of 82 games, do we really need to see the Lakers roll into town a couple of times every year? Now, owners wouldn't like to have only 65 games. That's lost games at the gate. Players, how do you negotiate through that? If you don't play, if you only play in 65 games, you're going to have less game checks. Is the players' union going to agree to less game checks? The likelihood of that is no. However, when we see how competitive and how brutal April, May, and June are, and the level of basketball and how great it is, there's no question they should try to find a way to lessen the season. Going back to this term, load management on the players does need to change. But you have the players' union involved. You have owners losing nights in buildings. So for Adam Silver to float this out there, I think the gambling and gaming side of it is where the money would come back for the owners. When you walk into a game, a talking stick arena, and very seldom do I use the title sponsor name because I don't get paid by them. When you walk into the Suns arena, it's my way around it. When you walk into the Suns arena and there's a gambling kiosk and you put your debit card there and say, I'm going to put $5 on the Suns to win tonight. Then there's 20,000, 19,000 people that come into the arena. I think you're going to be able to make up for some of those lost nights, depending on how you split it. Okay. There's going to be ways as we move forward in sports. Those of us that have been around sports for a while, we're not ones that like change. I am different than that. I believe there should be less games in the NFL. The NFL instead wants to take the worthless games in August that the commissioner finally admitted are a fraud and stick a couple of more of those during the regular season. They don't have a minor league system except for college football, which is great for the owners of the NFL. The level of play is lousy as the season progresses in many markets because there's not enough in the workforce. Move over to the NBA, where I think Adam Silver recognizes, why are we putting so many games on our star performers? And these star performers are taking off 25 games in the case of Kawhi Leonard. Paying public goes the game. Hey, Kawhi is not playing tonight because of load management. How does that work as you move forward through your league? And here's the thing. They can drop the number of games. They can drop the number of games to 50, and there's still going to be teams that say, yeah, you know, if you come here, your load management will be 32 games, 39 games. The idea of being, he's an Iron Man. He played all 82 games last season. What a stud. Now it's, wow, he took a lot of tread off the tire back in the 17-18 season, and when his next contract comes up, the number of minutes he's had, his load management has taken away his value. He's going to be that quick, much quicker out of the league. So these are the issues in going through this in free agency that you have to look at, bringing it current day. They're not shortening the season next year. But bringing it current day, the pitch to anybody with the Suns in the past, I don't know, 25 years has been Aaron Nelson is here. Aaron Nelson is the best at getting you rehabbed and ready to go. Your load management's not going to be that great. We will take care of you here in Phoenix. We don't know that now. Aaron Nelson's not here anymore for the first time ever. Big deal. When you're sitting as an agent across from James Jones, and James Jones is trying to convince a player to come here, and Dallas is sitting over there saying, well, we've got Luka and we've got Kristaps, and we're going to watch their numbers of minutes. Hey, why don't you come over here, Kemba Walker, and play? Which if Kemba Walker goes to Dallas, there's another team that's going to be in front of the Suns. Another one. So a lot around the NBA that's really interesting. Brett Hundley via Skype from Tel Aviv. Why does he do this? Why does he travel around the world? Does he get recognized wherever he's been? He's like Fitz, except now he's doing it on his own, much younger pace. And what's he doing in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv? That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So the last time I had Brett Hundley in studio, he had just signed with the Cardinals, and he was talking about this idea of being the late Anthony Bourdain and being a world traveler, and he's been going around, and I was checking him out over on Instagram, and he said, I'm going to be in Tel Aviv, and I said, well, just Skype in. So, you know, I mean, we're 3 weeks from training camp or whatever it is, so you're in Tel Aviv. What are you doing in Tel Aviv, Brett? And just tell fans how you decompress from the NFL and life as a Cardinal quarterback to being world traveler.
Yeah, so this is this is like the craziest probably interview I've done. I'm in Tel Aviv, Israel, as we speak right now. I just got out here. And this is like my passion outside of football. I love traveling, photography. And right now me and Kenny Young, linebacker for the Ravens, are out on this massive trip. We started in Jerusalem, and then we went to, we just finished the 2-day Petra tour. So we went into Jordan, we went all through the Petra, we stayed there overnight, and then now we just got into Tel Aviv. We're staying here for the night, and then tomorrow we fly to Athens, Greece, for a day, and then we go to Egypt after that, and then we have more travels to go. But yeah, this is what I love doing. This is my passion. Just seeing the different cultures, the people, the food, the places. Like, we just saw a world wonder today, Petra. And then we'll see another one, the pyramids, here in a couple of days. Like, you can't beat this. This is my type of living.
So you're in a hallway in Tel Aviv, Israel, Skyping in, talking about this. You got all sorts of random people walking behind you. But so you're when you go travel, what is it you're trying to do? Do you rest your mind? You don't bring a football with you or a playbook or anything, right?
No, like I usually will keep all my notes with me that I sort of take down. Usually I'll try to like take down the playbook just so I can go over it a little bit when I'm traveling. But especially during times like this in the off season, not at all. But times like this, I try to keep a notepad with me, the ones that I took during mini camp and OTAs and stuff. But yeah, when I travel like this, it's just me, a backpack, a Peak Design backpack, and a Herschel like carry on luggage. And I'm rolling. And I got all my electronics in my Peak Design backpack and then all my clothes in my Herschel carry-on luggage, and that's all I need.
Do you ever get lost where nobody can find you?
100%.
So your phone won't work. There are places where you travel around the world and nobody can find you.
Yeah, like if I get lost, I'm lost. Like it's a different loss than being lost in America, because you pull out your phone and like you got GPS. Out here, you get lost, and you got to figure out your way. Like, most people don't. I mean, a good amount of people out here speak English, but, like, if you're lost, you're probably not going to be somewhere that people are speaking good English. So,
yeah,
it's a tricky – but, like, honestly, that's, like, the fun in things. Like, we're going to Greece tomorrow, and I absolutely have not booked anything. Like, we're going to hit the ground running. And honestly, it's just a fun way to do it sometimes. Like, most of the stuff out here is all planned and stuff like that. We sort of had it scheduled out in the itinerary, but, like, tomorrow, for example, like – have nothing planned. Don't even know where we're staying yet. We're just gonna hit the ground run and then try to see everything, do everything, and then figure out a place to stay, crash for the night, and then get out.
Brett Hundley joining us via Skype. He's in Tel Aviv. He is on his, what do we call this? Your walkabout, your summer break.
This is the break before the season. I guess I don't even know what to call this. This is just when I get some free time. This is it. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah. Have you been recognized on this trip yet? People like, that guy looks familiar.
Crazy. I've been recognized twice. Once today, actually, just a couple of minutes ago before this call happened. And then again in Jordan. Actually, we met up with the Israel football team out there in Jerusalem. I'm sorry. In Jerusalem. And it was amazing. Like, it was probably like a good 20, 25 guys that came out and all met up with us, and we sort of walked around, and it was wild. Like, it was a fun time.
Do you sleep in airports, benches? When you say you don't have anything laid out, have you done any of that
yet?
Yeah,
I mean, no, I haven't. I've slept in an airport, 100%.
Like, yeah. Spent the night there, right? In the corner.
I've missed my flight in Colombia, or from Brazil trying to get to Colombia, and I had to sleep in the airport because it's a long story. But then after that, I'll stay anywhere. A lot of the times, like, if it's not an Airbnb, I actually like staying at hostels because you meet a lot of people. Like, I have friends all over the world because I travel, and like, I'll stay at a hostel and just like meet like the random people from random different places of the world. We'll travel, we'll go, you know, check out the town together. Then, you know, you just meet so many people. So it's fascinating when I travel, just all the amount of people you're exposed to and the amount of people you get to meet.
Okay, so I already asked you about being off the grid. From a football end, you do a little bit, but not much. Do you do a workout? Do you, like, do your workout stuff? You can't just go off the grid from working out for 2 or 3 weeks.
No.
Or can you?
No, not this time. So, like, in the off season, you can. Like, when season's over, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take a break from working out and stuff like that. But now, no, not a chance. But, like, it's funny. Like, I mix the work. Like, I'll mix workouts. So, like, if I know, like, today, for example, like, and yesterday, which yesterday or 2 days ago, we hiked in Jerusalem. We hiked Masada, which was like a 5-mile hike, like straight up this mountain. And then we had to go back down. Like, that was a lot. So that was like workout for the day. And today we hiked 10 miles through Petra, going up to the treasury, the monastery. We went through all these tombs. And I mean, this isn't like some like easy, you know, like,
we were riding
donkeys, horses to try to get to places. Like, it was no joke. So, like, these hikes are not an easy hike. So we were doing a lot of stuff to get around places. That's a workout.
All right, get out of here. You're rubbing your eyes like you're beat after doing all this. I appreciate you Skyping in from Tel Aviv. Safe travels, and we'll see you when you get back to the States.
Man, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate it, and travels continue.
There's Brett Hundley via Skype from Tel Aviv. He's checking in on the course of his season. Sports 360 AZ, his offseason. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Arizona State received a hard commit, as they like to say in the commitment business, from Diamante Trainum out of Archbishop Hoban of Akron, Ohio. Okay, and I'll get the name right eventually. They got a verbal commitment out of a 5'11", 218-pound running back who's really, really good, who's a four-star commitment. We have a little bit of video of him doing his thing. He plays on both sides of the football. And when you watch him, you know, he's got the breakaway speed. You don't know the level of competition here. It is Ohio football. Ohio's really good. He gave ASU a commitment over Ohio State, over Penn State, over Wisconsin, over Boston College. He visited Ohio State on June 17th. He visited Penn State on June 21st. He visited ASU back in May 17th. Now, he also plays on the defensive side of the football. These offensive plays are very, very special when you watch how physical he is and what he's able to do. This is from his junior year. What I see when I see him as big as he is you know, he looks like Eric Dickerson a little bit to me, if I'm going to go way back in the day. But I think when I watch him on the defensive side of the football, and I think some of that's coming up here in a bit, he lays out some guys. So he's going to be playing running back here. He's 6 foot, 205 pounds from a year ago as an inside linebacker. He's put on 20 pounds. And he said this is a very hard decision for him. You see him lay out guys there. Watch him on defense. This is pretty impressive. You see him just go after guys and the blitzing linebacker there. But when I was watching this tape this morning, it was he had the big hit plays. He just lays some guys down and out and puts them to sleep. So, but he's going to do. He's going to be at Arizona State at least for now. Now, Eric, you're involved in the recruiting game. If you and I were to go through this, Arizona State is not going to get Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson at South Point Catholic is looking at going potentially to Ohio State, maybe Texas, right? I mean, is that where we're at with Bijan?
No one really knows because Bijan doesn't really talk a lot about where he's going. He keeps that to himself. He's not big on social media. I would assume that Texas and Ohio State are going to be in his final few choices, but I don't know the inside scoop on that.
That's Jordan would know a little bit more, maybe?
Nobody knows. I mean, I know Lathan Ransom, his best friend on the team, probably knows, and I would assume his head coach, Dennis Binet, has a good idea.
Yeah.
But they're respectful of Bijan's privacy, and they're just going to let him decide what he's going to do.
Okay, so you and I both are the same on this, and I wrote a thing about Chuba Purdy yesterday, and some ASU people get all bent out of shape. They're on the payroll at ASU. That's their job to do. I get it. So beyond that, let's see if this commitment sticks. I guess that was my very, very upfront top line thought was, wow, okay, that's really cool. Let's see if this sticks. Meaning, just because somebody gives their verbal commitment in June, can they hold that commitment? And are you on the same boat as me on this one?
I am, but it's pretty impressive that Sean Aguano went and got this kid. And if there is one coach on that staff who I would believe could keep a kid's commitment, it's Coach Aguano, because you know him better than I do, but from my dealings with him, he's about as real, upfront, and honest as you can get. But as you mentioned, you know, you're trying to fend off huge Big Ten blue blood programs in Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State, all the other offers from the Midwest that this kid got. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. Kids change their mind. They're allowed to change their mind. The recruiting is a dirty business and a dirty game. And it's just a long time between now and LOI day.
It's why I wish there was an August day. I've always felt that August 1, because doing this recruiting stuff for 30 years, the August 1, just get it over with. These kids are going to end up taking trips that the schools are going to pay for, that they have no interest in going to the school. It's like the trip. Hey, go make sure. Yeah, I had no interest there, but I went to TCU anyways just to get Eric Sorensen excited. You know, that's how it works on this deal.
And it's tough because, especially with the two Tucson kids, these schools are rolling out the red carpet.
Sure.
For these Sal Point athletes. I mean, they are staying at the nicest hotels in town, and they are getting catered service when they go on their official visits. And it's got to be tough. I mean, you're not really going to lose when you're picking between Ohio State, Texas, Oklahoma, LSU, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it is a tough choice for a kid. Well, there is a lot of pressure.
What does this do for Arizona State if they can keep him? So I wrote about how they didn't get Chubba Purdy, but I thought they did a good job in recruiting him. Louisville just did a better job. Louisville was in on him earlier. Louisville showed more interest. There was even a thought that Arizona State's really not interested in Chubba Purdy. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. They were interested, and I think showing that, waiting for Chubba to decide what he wanted to do, and then like 24 hours later, they go get the kid from Louisiana. So Arizona State's recruiting class so far, Eric, from what I can tell, it's three in-state or four in-state kids. It's a quarterback from Louisiana and a running back from Ohio State that people are going to get really excited about, really excited about. So they're trying to go national, which is great, which is fine. You know, last year was you took over late. Todd and his staff were gone, so you weren't really going to get a whole lot. Now they're going this national route, and landing a guy like that, if you're able to keep him and keep a two-sport kid from Louisiana if he can play, I think it sends a very positive message that nationally we're trying to do this brand. That's what their goal is.
No doubt. But it would be nice eventually if they would land one of these top Arizona kids, because I would think the last real blue-chip recruit that they landed was probably N'Keal Harry. And this 2020 class in Arizona is maybe the best ever.
Okay, so
and they've been out on all of those top-end, top-tier kids.
Keely
so
Ringo,
far.
Saguaro, not going to ASU.
I wouldn't think so.
Is that what you're hearing? That's what I mean. I've just been told point blank he's not going.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. I don't have any inside
scoop
on that. So
Bijan.
He's not going to ASU.
Lathan Ransom.
He's not going to ASU.
Okay, so those are the top three.
Or U of A for both of those schools, so for both those kids.
Those are the top three, pretty much, in this year's class.
Yeah, I'd have to look at a list, but there's tons of really good players.
Yeah, no, there.
I mean, Jack Miller.
I think they've got a shot at Brendan Rice still. I think Brendan Rice over at Hamilton, the receiver, Jerry Rice's kid.
Who is in the second tier of those top tiers, I would say.
Okay. Good player, though.
Very good. Very good.
Good player. And so if they get four or five guys, are they making the progress? I think that's the question. But they get a big running back, and fans should be excited. It's fine. Fans should be excited. It's June. We're over here being the realists. Keep the kids' commitment until December. It's hard to do. Goody at the Movies is next. Stay with us. I've been looking forward to talking to Bill since, yesterday when I was driving down to screen Spider-Man, I leaned over to my wife and we were driving and said, Bill's not going to be there. She said, well, why? And then we walk in, there's a seat that Bill usually sits in. It's got some tape on it. And she said, well, I thought, Bill, you said he wasn't coming. I said, look, the Democrats are going to be up on stage and Bill's going to be all over that. Now, Spider-Man Bill was okay. Goody at the Movies is with us, by the way. AZ Central, Gannett Chief Film and Media Critic. Man of many talents, many hats. Spider-Man was fine. What was the point? There was some references to Tony Stark there. Done. Now, how was the debate last night? Was it worth it? Was it interesting? Was it entertaining? I have not read you yet today. Shame on me. Was it any good?
It was also fine. There were no references to Tony Stark. I don't think the but probably references to just about everything else. I mean, it was sort of frustrating. There's just too many people. I mean, there were 10 last night. There are 10 tonight. There were two sets of moderators because it was 2 hours long. Oof. And the most notable thing probably that happened was when they, there was sort of like a halftime. So when they switched moderators. And when the three original moderators left and the other two took over and they started to ask questions, but the original three's microphones were still on. So you could hear them talking back there. And the candidates could hear the TV audience could hear them. Everybody could hear them. And it was sort of like, I think I ended up writing this, there was thankfully, there was not like a Naked Gun 2.5 moment where one of them went to the bathroom or something. Where they, it was, you know, they it was mostly just muffled. You couldn't really hear it. Well, and it also would have been pretty bad if one of them had said something like, "Oh my God, that Beto O'Rourke is an idiot," or something. You know, I mean, that would have been probably worse. But it was just muffled stuff. But it was so bad that they actually had to go to a commercial break and you know, time is almost literally money in these things, and it's important to the candidate's decision. That's kind of weird, but it's too many people, and they're talking all over each other. And you got Bill de Blasio over there. I saw this thing. It said he's done a pretty good job of representing New Yorkers trying to scream over everybody else in the crowded room. he's yelling, and Elizabeth Warren was pretty good. She very calm and collected. Very much seemed like the front runner of that bunch. But, you know, it's early, but maybe it's not that early. I don't know. A lot of people watched, and probably more people will watch tonight because there's Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. And,
so the numbers were good. I was going to ask you, have you seen numbers yet for last night?
It was on NBC, MSNBC, and Telemundo, and they were not. They're not as good as the numbers when Trump was running and the Republicans, you know, and those, because those things were just
free-for-alls,
you know. Yeah. I mean, you had no idea what was going to come of those. So they weren't like that, but they should be better than the Democrat, the 2015 Democratic debates. But then that was really just Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and some other people that nobody remembers. So, you know, it's a lot, and it's... I don't know that it changes anybody's mind about anything. I don't know that we can do that anymore. And the problem with that many people is it's not really a debate. It's just like every candidate gets a certain set of questions, and there's not a whole lot of back and forth because there's no time for it.
You're in a sports bar, and you're all just screaming. It sounds like. All right, let me go over here to Megan Rapinoe because on the sports end of things. So U.S. women's soccer team. They play tomorrow. I'm trying to find a rowdy, raucous sports bar in the Southeast Valley, and I keep getting told you live out in a church area. Everybody's too nice in the Southeast Valley. I'm going to find a place tomorrow, Bill, where they paint their faces and they get into it. And it reads to me on your social like you're actually all in on this World Cup thing. And then Megan Rapinoe says, no bleeping way am I going to the White House. And her and Trump are going more her towards Trump than Trump towards her. What do you make out of all this Rapinoe stuff in the middle of the Women's World Cup, which is a terrific story?
Yeah, well, I mean, Trump is going to insert himself. Well, I guess he didn't really insert himself in this. He sort of got inserted in it, but he was going to, the things he said were typically, you know, Trumpian, you might say. I saw one person that, this isn't bad, but it was somewhat telling. He said, oh my God, he thinks she's black, doesn't he? because of the way he's talking to her. if you see the thing, it's like just they sort of offhandedly asked her. Yeah. And it wasn't like she got up and made this big statement. It was just like, I might go on a White House. Yeah. And then she goes on. She's like, I don't think I am. I don't, you know, have we been invited? You know, she's, and, so it wasn't like she went out of her way to say it or anything. But I mean, Trump is going to weigh in. He likes attention, as you've probably noticed by now. And the Women's World Cup, we're getting some attention. And I think it is a great story. I mean, they're a lot of fun to watch. And
you're into it. You are into it though, Bill. You're social. You're wrapped in flag on this deal.
I did not realize I was into it until I thought they were going to lose. But it's like one of those things, and this is very much true. I mean, I think we take them for granted. I think that people who sort of casually, once every 4 years, follow soccer that I do and that a lot of people do, sort of the same way you do, you know, you follow figure skating or something. Sure. Once every 4 years. But I think that, like, you know, the men I always think of as underachieving and who really cares, and the women, and this is not fair to them because they are so good and the rest of the world is so good, I just tend to think, they're the best, they'll win. And you know, and I don't think that gives them credit for how hard it is to get through this thing and how many good teams they're going to have to beat. So it was a bit of a wake-up call for me because, honest to God, I switched it on just to see, like, you know, is it 4-0? Is it 5-0? Yeah. You know, it's like 1-1. And the announcers are starting to talk about, like, you know, if Spain wins this thing. The only thing that was exciting about it was Spain, they were dirty. And it was that made it fun too. They're right there. They're like killing people. And
you know the
like a hockey game.
The pay discrepancy between Jill Ellis and Jürgen Klinsmann, who's no longer coaching the USA men's team, he was in the $4 million range. She's at about $250,000. And so there's a pay disparity there that's of interest to me. And the match itself, I've had soccer daughters. My wife played at a high end. She coached at a high end. So we're into it. Where are you going to watch the match at tomorrow, Bill? It sounds like you're going to be checking it out.
Probably on my TV as I drive children to and from different places.
It's in the middle of the day. It's noon tomorrow, so I'll text you. I'll text you where I'm at. Maybe we're close.
Yeah, enough. Let me know where you're going to watch if you find a good place. Yeah. Any sort of a pub type, you know, like British pub place. I mean,
Georgian Dragon. That's the place.
I guarantee you they'll have it.
It's too far downtown for you and I, though. Before I get you out of here, let's go over to The Quiet One. You saw The Quiet One. You want to talk about that a little bit. It's a documentary. How about The Quiet One?
It's about Bill Wyman, the bass player for the Rolling Stones for a long time, who was, you know, the Rolling Stones really sort of set the iconic rock star molds. I mean, Mick Jagger is the sort of over-sexualized preening singer, and Keith Richards is the dissolute guitar player who can play through it all anyway. And Bill Wyman, the bass player, that kind of just stood there and played. And so he was evidently this just huge collector of everything. So in 2014, he let a filmmaker go through all of his archives and films and stuff he had collected, and he came up with this. And you'd think it would be this fascinating history of the Rolling Stones, but it only is a little bit of that. It's so straightforward, and it's just so not a lot that you haven't seen or heard for if you know the Rolling Stones or if you like them until the end. And at the end, he actually talks directly to the camera some and then explains some stuff, but. Before that, it's interesting. If you like the Rolling Stones, by all means, go see it. If you don't like the Rolling Stones, I don't think there's anything in it that's going to make you like them or even start listening to them. So it's okay. I was hoping it would be better.
Okay, so we've had Elton John this year. We've had the Rolling Stones this year. What's the one I'm forgetting? This is the genre.
Well, there was Queen last year.
Yeah, Queen. That's right. So... Yeah, Queen, of course. So what's next on this one in terms of music that's coming up? Have you heard of anything? Like, I'd go see something on Michael Jackson. I'd go see something on...
Well, you can go see the damning documentary on Michael Jackson.
I've heard about that.
And that'd probably be the end of anything you want to...
Yeah, Gaga. I'd go see something on Gaga or Madonna. I'd go see something on them because I find them interesting. You know, I'll see them in interviews, and they're interesting to me.
I think what's going to happen is, and maybe it's happened already, I don't know, but you're going to get to the place where they're going to do one of these biographical history things on somebody, and you're going to feel like, wait, that person isn't old enough to, you know, like, to have a movie made about them. And then all of a sudden you're going to realize, oh, yeah, they are. And that means I am too.
Yeah, that'll be Justin Bieber, right? That'll be the Backstreet Boy. Something like that.
When they do an REM one, I'm going to feel even older than I do.
All right, I'm going to text you tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to text you, but if I get a spot, I'll text you.
Let me know. All right.
See ya. It's good to eat the movies. Yeah, I mean, World Cup's tomorrow, and why not take a break and just go hang out somewhere in shorts, flip-flops, yell at a TV, and something's happening halfway around the world, and, you know, put some red, white, and blue on my face. 20 years ago, I would have said, we cannot cheer. We have to be, you know, straight down the middle. I think that's kind of dopey now. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. He actually had assistance today from Sarandon. Sarandon did not screw up today's show. Eric Sorensen is the senior executive vice president of everything. He found Brett Hundley via Skype and Goody at the movies. All of our content, this show, by the way, repeats over and over and over. All of our content's on our website, sports360az.com, sports360az.com. We are self-funded. Guys, when you see these commercials or when I talk about Sagicor, these are companies that believe in what we do. We have several partners. We appreciate their support. Please support them and make sure you give us a review over on iTunes on our podcast. Have yourself a great day.